The 100 Marathon Club by Darren Smith. Number 26 and 27, The Race to the Tower, 9th and 10th of June 2018. Day 1. My score on the Need for Closure scale, the NFCS, is pretty high. It always has been, dating back way before I took up running. If I start a movie, it needs to be dreadful to not be completed. The only notable, and I use that term sparingly, example of a movie I started and then just couldn't get through is Universal Soldier 2. And I had several bites at that particular rotten cherry before finally giving up. Books? Well, Paul Theroux's Hotel Honolulu sat by the bathtub for years, swelling with the moisture before being deposited as a breeze block in the recycling bin unfinished. Most things I have to complete them. It becomes a bit of an obsession. The US State Quarters collection, the Star Wars figures were collected 3 times and the 3rd time to completion. It's all about getting blue snaggletooth. TV shows, music anthologies, all needed me to feel some sort of closure on them. This need to complete something really goes into overdrive when I don't run a planned race for one reason or another. Races I didn't finish, I had to go back and complete another year, such as Comrades. Those I did not start, I try to book a new race, a similar race, or slightly more difficult race as soon as possible. Green Man 30 in 2018 was replaced with the Amersham Ultra. Ultrax was replaced with the Zermatt Gornergrat Marathon. I will try to get to them all before the end of this quest. The Threshold series I treated as a special case. Having run day one of Race to the King in 2016 as my first trail marathon and then Race to the Stones all the way through the night for 100 kilometres as my first ultra a few weeks later, Race to the Tower, the last in the series at the time, would need to be a 2-day race with camping in between. The benefit here being that I would complete the series in each of its different formats, 1 day, overnight and 2 day. And it would count double towards the 100 Marathon Club too, due to having a separate distinct time for each day. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I had a plan, demons to put to bed on day one. After a disappointing Race to the King back in 2016, and more recently at St. Ictids, where I spent far too much time at checkpoints, I decided to go for it. The things I did wrong in those races and Stones would be put to right. I would leave the others at the start and then run my own race. My checkpoint stops would be minimal. Rather than a chat and a cup of tea and a sit down, I would simply refill my water bottles, eat no more than a handful or two of something, and then just get going. And this, for the most part, worked like a dream. Tunes cranked way up, Hot Patootie, bless my soul. I really loved that rock and roll. I sped off, country lanes diverted into fields of sheep. All gates and stiles were numbered and mile markers clearly marked the way. These were great devices for managing your own expectations, and I was ticking them off as checkpoint one appeared and then checkpoint two. At one point there was a barbed wire-edged severe incline that did take a good while to climb, and I was pulling myself up with the help of that fence and thought, this would be very hard for others to get up. It would be impossible in the rain. Once at the top, heart trying to beat its way out of my chest, I was treated to panoramic views of the Cotswolds as a reward, before heading down again. JK had met the First Lady at St. Ictids, and she had said that this race, Race to the Tower, was hillier. And it was. Sharp descents appeared from nowhere. After a long slog uphill on muddy paths, a prolonged time with a great view, you suddenly read a caution sign before an immediate 30-metre descent on loose stone with a kind of angle that no one's knees are happy with. Controlling your descent, your legs would be burning before you hit the bottom. As it was, my right knee was still suffering a little from tendonitis. And this terrain did not help. This was definitely tougher than King and Stones. And I was glad I came into it off the back of 5 marathons and a couple of trail 50Ks in quick succession. It made me appreciate just how ill-prepared I was for King 2 years earlier. But you know what they say about hindsight. Much like the other thresholds races, the checkpoints are very well stocked and manned by friendly marshals, happy to make you tea and bring you anything you need. Some people describe these ultras as a running, walking buffet. A lot of hardcore trail runners just slag them off as being too soft, too easy, too entry level. And you do eat your way through them, but knowing I spent 3 hours at checkpoints at Stones in total, at least on this, day one, I would keep it to a minimum. A few more climbs and probably the most technically difficult descent of the day, and I was at a cafe getting my water bottles filled. I only had 5 kilometres to go, just a park run, and ahead I saw a runner stop and literally roll onto his back like a turtle. He was absolutely beaten. He crashed, and then he sat up when I reached him. He was Welsh, and I seemed to see them everywhere since St Wales. He told me he had run this race before and doesn't know what happened. He felt like he had no strength left in his legs. I told him that there was only 5K to the finish, a short walk, an hour at most, a park run. This seemed to hit home and he got up and we talked as we walked for a bit, until he was moving again freely and we caught up with a guy in front who was also walking. I checked to make sure that the Welshman was happy, and he was. And I said that I was going to run the last bit, if that was okay, and would see him at the end, which I did at the tent, after one hell of a hill that he had warned me about, before my sprint finish to slay a few demons. About those, yes, there would be a photographer at halfway, and yes, he would capture me running for the line, flying feet and focused, and that put paid to the end of King tasting so sour. And my time? Well, it wasn't great for me. It was actually slower than King because of the hills, but it was infinitely better than how I did at Stones and St Ictids, and so I was happy with that. Day two could be a walk for all I cared. So on to day two. Camping. It's a no from me. I had the worst night's sleep, maybe grabbing 2 to 3 hours with a smattering of minutes here and there, when every tent zip, fart, belch, cough, snore, cow mooing, and voice from another tent woke me up. I hated it. A teen and his dad were in the tent across the way from mine. Their conversations were odd, entertaining to a degree, and tiresome in equal measure. "Dad, my pants are wet." "Why?" "I dropped them in the shower." "Well, change them then." "Dad, are you sleeping with your head or your feet towards the door of the tent?" "My feet." "Ugh, weirdo." And in the morning, after a night on a plastic Ryvita with a non-existent inflatable pillow and a constant worry about bug bites, I woke feeling like I could kill people. JK, Claire and Jenny had stayed together for the entire first day, coming in roughly an hour after I did. Their photos are wonderful, and they were used by Threshold to advertise several of their events a year later. And I joined them for the start of day two, leaving the camp in mist and watching it slowly burn off as we ran the downs and walked the rest along country lanes. A deer poked its head above a field of crops, then bounced away as if we were part of a Disney movie. And hardly any runners were seen as we ticked over the first 5 miles relatively quickly and easily. It was at the first checkpoint that we were told that they had stayed there much later than planned to help the one-dayers come through. The cut-offs were not being adhered to, and so the 12 hours per day was now becoming closer to 16. It was a long weekend for the marshals, and everyone was very thankful for them as we loaded up on tea, chocolate spread, and peanut butter sandwiches. It was so hot. The cooling mist of the start of the day had long gone, and all the layers were removed as Claire and JK went on ahead, and I opted to keep Jenny company for marathon numero dos of the weekend. It was so hot that even my tan got a tan as we climbed through exhausting humid woods and then ran along the tops of hills that reminded me very much of day one. And all the while the mile markers ticked over quite comfortably, to the point where we were already at checkpoint 6 before we knew it, sunning ourselves on deck chairs and drinking tea and eating sandwiches outside a quaint village church, after seeing numerous groups of scouts and guides going the other way to earn their orienteering badge. You can't get through this kind of endurance race alone. I said that before, actually, in the Race to the Stones review. Well, I can't get through it anyway. It is good running with someone you know well too, so you can put the world to rights. I enjoy the camaraderie. They do say that if you have any issues, then running for 4 hours will give you plenty of time to think them through. Well, times that by 5 and you've got our weekend. Sometimes, however, other voices invade your space. On day 2, in the latter part of the race, the runners were more spread out. We pootled along through fields and woodland, small towns, over any of the 160 stiles and gates that we needed to clamber over. And then, every so often, a small group passed us, or we passed them. One of them, who I nicknamed Stating the Bleeding Obvious Northern Velma, was noisy. She could be heard from about a mile and a half away and just wouldn't shut the fuck up. And yes, she looked like Velma from Scooby-Doo and was clearly from the north. We even ran hard a couple of times, Jenny and I did, just to get some distance from her, as she was grating on our nerves. And then we were across a road, and there was one last hill between us and the tower. A hill that went on forever. It started, like most, with a numbered gate, and that led into a field of pooping sheep. We climbed this slowly, sipping drinks as we did, looking around for Stating the Bleeding Obvious Northern Velma, trying not to step in sheep dung. At the end, some trees and a stile with another number, 155. Oh, we had another 5 gates to go through, or another 5 stiles to climb over. And we were again in another empty field. We climbed some more. There was another gate, 156, and another field. This one had a flat top and benches. The locals or tourists were looking out at the view behind us that at the time we couldn't give less of a fuck about. There were some steps and another gate and then another gate, but rather than the tower, there was another field beyond. Then another. And then the last, and we finally saw the target of our 53-mile run, the Broadway Tower. It's quite nice, really. 3 hours slower than day one, but we were okay with that, and we had completed 2 marathons in 2 days. And we deserved that gentle pat on the back to say well done. I hasten to say, gentle, to avoid hurting the undoubted sunburn that we both suffered from. And so the Threshold series was complete. King, Stones, and now Tower, in the 3 different formats. Day one, all in one go, and split over 2 days. It is Threshold, though, so the series hoodie would take a little over 3 months to finally arrive. But it did, and I wore it till death, or until it fell off. Closing the door on this series for me was great until the Swines created the new Race to the Castle in 2020, giving me yet something else I needed to add to the ever-growing race list before I could get any more closure. Next up, the Loch Ness Marathon.